Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The best local sports talk in the Flower City. One Bills Live and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Bills hosting the LA Rams Sunday pregame, 9 a.m. kickoff, 1 o'clock right here on the Sports Leader. And to dive a little bit deeper into what Los Angeles is bringing to town, we bring in Lindsay Theory, ESPN NFL Nation Rams reporter. Her inaugural visit into the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Lindsay, how are you?
Good. How's it going this afternoon?
Lindsay, it's going to be a fun week here. 2-0 Buffalo, 2-0 Rams. We kind of joke here when we hear all these reports of the Rams giving a new contract to Cobb, new contract to Woods. Do they work under a different salary cap than the rest of the league?
Yeah, you know, I actually asked Sean McVay that last night because so many people keep inquiring, and he kind of laughed. And, you know, obviously the salary cap can be stretched out over many years. And as we saw in the past, like with Todd Gurley and Brandon Cooks, just because the Rams sign you to that long-term extension, obviously they have to pay the guaranteed money, but it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be sticking around for forever. So right now they're wheeling and dealing. They have free salary cap space next year after unloading Brandon Cooks and Todd Gurley, who they're taking on more than $30 million in dead money this year. So it seems like the money is endless, but in fact, there's an end to it at some point.
Yeah, Lindsay, I heard everything you said just now, and I'm just going to sum it up. The salary cap is a myth. You guys are cheating. Oh. This isn't real. And congratulations, they found a loophole. The Lindsay Theory covering the Rams for ESPN's NFL Nation, joining us here in the Sports Bar. All right, let's start with the quarterback, Jared Goff. I mean, you know, last year, a lot of people would say, oh, down year for the Rams. I mean, they did finish with a winning record after appearing in the Super Bowl the year prior to last year. Talk about Jared Goff and his play so far this season.
Yeah, he's looked outstanding. I mean, talk about a bounce back. A lot of Jared's issues last year stemmed from the offensive line. It was injured, and then it was an experience, and there just wasn't a lot of protection there for Jared. The line's holding up a lot better so far through two games. And Jared, I mean, if you saw the game against the Eagles, he was just, his accuracy was, I mean, he's always incredibly accurate, which is very on point with his decisions. He started the game 13 of 13 before he finally threw an incompletion on his 14th pass. So he really has had a strong bounce back. Week one, he played well, but probably week two, he played great. And this offense right now really looks like it's hitting on all cylinders, which I think is a surprise to many, myself included, if I'm being perfectly honest, just because it was so unclear what the identity would be without Todd Gurley.
Who is the top target? And I ask this because I don't know if you caught any of the Buffalo-Miami highlights, but the Bills defense had some issues covering the Miami tight end, and Buffalo has some injury problems at linebacker, not knowing the status of Edmonds and Milano heading in, and I'm sure we'll learn more. But to me, Higbee's development here, Lindsay, where did this come from? He's developed into one of the best tight ends in the game here.
Yeah, over the last five games last season, the Rams kind of shifted to using more 12 personnel, two tight ends in their sets. And Tyler Higbee became a threat in the passing game. I mean, he had like more than 500 yards over the last five games. Last week, pretty quiet, but then against the Eagles, really erupted, had three touchdown receptions, which is a career high for him. Last year, he had three touchdown receptions all year, so he did that in one game. So that was pretty impressive. But as far as like Goff's targets, I mean, you have Tyler Higbee, who's obviously emerged, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. Like, here's the thing, the Rams don't necessarily have that clear-cut number one receiver. But Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are like their 1A and 1B. Like those two on any given Sunday could each have over 100 yards, and one of them can absolutely take off. So the Rams' offense this year, like, it's really hard to pinpoint where the ball is ever going. They have so many more guys involved than I think we've ever seen in Sean McVay's time with the Rams over the last 3 years.
Lindsay, what happened this offseason that made the Rams' offensive line what they were last year to what they are this year? And so much of that offense and the success they have comes off of that play action. I want to get to the backfield in a second. But first, that offensive line, what improved from year to year?
Yeah, well, last year, I mean, I think we were used to the 2018 standard, right? It was one of the best lines, if not the best line in the NFL. Last year, they inserted a new starter at left guard, a new starter at center. Those guys both went down with injuries, season-ending ACLs. Then they had to insert a couple of rookies and move some pieces around. Then they lost their right tackle. So there was it was a revolving door of people having to shift spots and rookies who suddenly are being thrust into playing time, which we all know, like, the offensive line is typically not a spot where you see super young guys, especially rookies, have a ton of success right away. So this year, you know, they kind of have more experience. They have their two tackles who are back in place. So right now, it's a better line than it was last year. Experience obviously playing a factor in that, and then also just their health overall.
We're talking to Lindsay Theory. She covers the L.A. Rams, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, joining us here in the Sports Bar. So the running back situation, a little banged up there heading into Buffalo. If you can kind of give us an injury update, and who is it a committee here, or is Sean McVay hoping that one of these guys will step up and, you know, take the job like Todd Gurley once had it?
Yeah, right now it's a committee. I mean, if one of these guys entirely separates himself, you wouldn't be surprised to see Sean maybe lean into that player more. But right now it's definitely a committee, and if nothing else, because they are banked up, like you mentioned. Malcolm Brown had a procedure done to fix a fractured pinky, so he came out of the game late against the Eagles. Sean McVay says he's available to go on Sunday, so they've got that all sewed up, I guess, and they'll probably put some sort of like club or cast on that hand where he's supposed to be okay. Cam Akers, the rookie who was their second round pick from Florida State, he is day to day, so probably questionable for whether or not he'll be able to play Sunday. He has a separated rib cartilage, which I know when McVay was explaining that to us, it was kind of made you want to cringe a little bit. So day to day, but in Sean McVay speak in the past, when he says day to day, that really means maybe more week to week. So I'd be a little bit surprised if we see him out there on Sunday.
Lindsay Theory covers the Rams for ESPN's NFL Nation. You could read her work at ESPN.com. Lindsay, let's flip the side of the ball and talk about the defense for the LA Rams. And I think it all starts with the star in the center, Aaron Donald. Is there a key? Is there anything, blueprint, team, any player that you've seen that's been able to slow him down? Not stop him, I don't think you can, but slow him down a little bit to render his effectiveness against the offensive line?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I saw a Bills player come with probably the best plan I've ever seen, which I think one of the guys out there said, we hope he just misses the bus. That's about all you can hope for when it comes to kind of slowing down Aaron Donald. Like, he didn't have a sack this last week, but he is just a guy, and everyone says, right, you're in the NFL, you're a hard worker, everyone's a hard worker at this point. But I have encountered more offensive linemen, whether it's teams that the Rams practice against, obviously not this year, but in years past during training camps, or offensive linemen who Aaron goes against on Sundays, who said they've never gone against a defensive tackle who never, ever takes a playoff. And not only does he never take a playoff, he goes 110% at you every single time. So he's an unbelievable player with an unbelievable motor. So I don't know that there is a way to stop. Like you said, there's no way to stop Aaron Donald. The best you can do is slow him down. And in that case, you hope that if you're the Rams, the other guys take advantage of what's likely a lot of double teams, sometimes even triple teams that are going Aaron's way.
We're certainly familiar with Jalen Ramsey from his days back in Jacksonville. Lindsay, he and Josh Allen had a little thing a few years ago. It was more Ramsey saying and Allen not taking the bait. But Josh Allen certainly putting up some numbers the first 2 weeks. And he did that against two teams that were playing primarily man-to-man defense in the secondary, the Jets and the Dolphins. What are the Rams like? Because do they run the man-to-man? Because those crossing patterns, I mean, the Jets and Dolphins certainly got crossed up. So what can we expect out of the Rams secondary this week?
Yeah, they have definitely been a group that's been mixing up. Brandon Staley is their first-year defensive coordinator. He has been running a lot of nickel. I mean, they throw as many defensive backs as any defense out there in the league right now. Obviously, if Jalen Ramsey, he's going to lock down one side of the field. He did that this last week against the Eagles. He was only targeted twice. That means more pressure for Troy Hill, their slot corner, more pressure for Darius Williams. Those two guys came up huge this last week. Darius Williams with an interception. Troy Hill has really taken to that slot position. So I think no matter where the Bills look, they're gonna be in a tough spot. And Jalen Ramsey being able to walk down one side of the field means that Josh Allen's going to have to be really good finding his open target on the other side.
Lindsay Theory covering the Rams for ESPN.com, joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Lindsay, if you're Sean McVay and it's Tuesday night, what's keeping you up tonight and preventing you from falling asleep when you're thinking about the Buffalo Bills on Sunday?
Probably just the fact that it's going to be another competitive game. I mean, they put this on obviously a two-game win streak, and the Rams have to go back to the East Coast, which they have had no problem with on those early starts. But again, I don't think the Rams like to build up any one game more than the last, but this is a really good team. This is going to be a really good barometer for them to go across the country and see where they stand against the Bills, who right now are the leaders out there in the East, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, over the Patriots, don't tell anybody. Lindsay, was there any conversation to the Rams staying out here? I mean, that's a brutal schedule that the team got, having to go to Philadelphia and back. I mean, you saw the Niners stay in New Jersey this week. At least they're playing in the same stadium. I get it. But did Sean McVay give any consideration to perhaps staying out here this week rather than having to go coast to coast twice in 2 weeks here?
Yeah, you know, that's something that they've definitely done in the past, staying out on the East Coast. This is actually the first year I think Sean McVay's been coached where they won't have, like, an extended trip somewhere just to try to minimize travel. But because of the coronavirus situation, I think when your initial rules came out, that didn't look like it'd be a possibility. And as it is, he right now feels like it's best for guys to be at home, sleeping in their own beds. And then I don't think he's second-guessing that decision at all, seeing how fast they started this last week in Philadelphia, despite traveling only the day before and playing, you know, 10 a.m. body clock time. So that's the plan that they're going with this year, and right now it seems to work pretty well for them.
Where do the Rams stack up in that division? Seems like the NFC West is the toughest division. Lindsay, your thoughts on the Rams and their chances at getting through that gauntlet with Seattle and Arizona, and I'm not sure what to make of San Francisco so far.
Yeah, like you said, it's a gauntlet. I mean, that Sunday night game with the Seahawks and Patriots is incredible. The Seahawks with Russell Wilson are always good, if not really good, this year. And the Cardinals are probably the most improved team in the division. So I think the best thing for the Rams right now has to be that, I mean, one, they're better than I think a lot of us expected, and their defense has come together quickly, and their offense has found to have another cylinder to hit on. But the 49ers are so banged up that really does kind of make you wonder what their long-term success looks like this season with losing Joey Bosa and whatnot. So I think the Rams and the Seahawks are probably going to be right there for 1-2. But again, like, the Cardinals improved so much over this offseason, their roster, and then just another year with Cliff Kingsbury as head coach. So it's going to be really interesting to see. But I think the Rams would be very well served to finish first or second to actually the division this year.
Lindsay, for all the Bills fans that are listening this afternoon that want to do a little scouting report on the Rams, what are you working on at ESPN.com that we can read up this week?
Yeah, we'll be working on a piece, actually, once I get off with you guys, of all about how the Rams are making it work under the salary cap. I know a lot of people keep scratching their heads wondering how they're paying all these guys, how they've inflated these stars. So that's what we have hopefully coming out a little bit later this week.
Shortest article ever, one word. It's a myth. No. Just put myth and
just kicking the can down the road. That salary cap bill really never actually.
Lindsay, that's not an article. That's a tweet. You could do that in under 140 characters. It is
tell my
a myth.
That.
Yeah. Lindsay, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy the rest of the season.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Lindsay Theory covering the L.A. Rams for ESPN.com. The Rams actually kind of lucked out coming to Buffalo. I always love those West Coast or Florida teams coming up late in the year. 71, but a chance of a thunderstorm. The early forecast. Orchard Park Sunday. I don't need another thunderstorm interrupting my Sunday afternoon, Mike.
Oh, you don't need a thunderstorm? The weather hasn't been to your liking here in Western New York, Gene? Okay.
No, not during a football game where we got to wait to have another weather delay.
Right, right. Do we have generators at Bills Stadium? Do we know if we have generators? Will there be a power outage?
There was a game. Do you remember that game against the Chargers a few years ago where there was some balloons that went up, knocked out the power?
And I remember that.
Yeah, and so the first half was not on television. The whole stadium, and if you went to that game, it was weird. No power anywhere, and they're like, well, let's just kind of play the game. And, ooh, that was Philip Rivers that day losing to Buffalo.
Okay.
Oh, no. I bring that up. He's going to be one of our choices for Survive in Advance.
Foreshadowing coming up here at 4 o'clock with Survive in Advance. We'll make a chop in the unsanctioned guillotine. But next, in the sports bar, we've got some takes. I'll drink to that. Gino, I don't really have any sports takes today. I have a non-sports take to share today.
Okay, I have a take, and it's actually, I got to give credit, it's actually Nate Rowland's take.
Ah.
But I'm going to reframe it here a little bit. The Players Association in baseball, everybody's going to be like, oh, yes, new playoff, new... No, the Players Association doesn't realize they just stepped into a giant trap that the owners have set for him, for these players. That's going to decrease salaries.
Wait, what do you mean? You mean the owners are going to come out on top?
I'm telling you,
in a professional sports league, doesn't happen.
Well,
it's always fair. It's always fair and balanced.
Yeah,
right down the center, 50-50. Players get theirs. Owners get
no.
Oh,
and I'm going to shock you, Joe Buck. You are no longer at the bottom of my list.
Wow.
No way.
I think right now, Vance Joseph is actually having the time of his life.
I'm going to give you who the worst play-by-play guy is in the NFL today. Oh, and it's not Joe.
Oh, no. Don't do this. Don't do... All right, I'll drink to that as on the way next. Gene has some takes. I've got a non-sports take to share. We've got Survive in Advance coming up here in about 15 minutes or so as well. Stay with us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester knows there's more to life than sports.
Kidding.
College basketball and football.
Put it away for these LSU Tigers.
The NBA.
Down to Davis. Feeds LeBron and traffic glides to the rim for two.
Major League Baseball.
And this one will find the Crawford boxes for a home run. And all of a sudden, it's a one-run game.
Your proud home of the Buffalo Bills.
Allen in the gun. Steps away from pressure again. Fires it now on the run. Caught by Beasley at the 10. Headed in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Buffalo Sabres. Rochester American.
Although he's there to jam it in, and his third goal of the night as the Amherst take a 3-2 lead.
More to life than sports? Not here. Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.